For 2 years, Russell Weston Jr. has been locked up, unmedicated, and isolated in a psychiatric facility. He is charged with murder in the shootings at the U.S. Capitol 3 years ago that killed two Capitol Police officers. He has been found not competent to stand trial because of his paranoid schizophrenia. Here is Mr. Weston, recorded in an interview with a defense psychiatrist more than 2 years ago.
The big book on cannibalism, on federal code and jurisdiction and statute, and it covers virtually every scenario or position that the cannibals will have as far as trying to get out of being criminally prosecuted for cannibalism.
All this time, lawyers for the government and Mr. Weston have been arguing over whether he should be forced to take medication he doesn't want in order to stand trial for the deaths of Jacob Chestnut and John Gibson. The judge has ruled he should be forcibly medicated. Today, his lawyers are challenging that decision before a federal appeals court. Neither side is talking to reporters, but NPR's Libby Lewis has pieced together some of the legal and ethical questions in the case.
If you delve into this case, you can't help but think it's as much a labyrinth as Russell Weston's mind. The words of the lawyers and the judges wind this way and wind back that way as the case veers between the courts. The families and the friends of the two men who died just wait and wait. And the man who did this terrible thing is locked up alone with his mind. So who is responsible for this legal purgatory? That's easy, says Josh Marquis. He's a prosecutor who's on the board of directors for the National Association of District Attorneys. He says Weston's lawyers are to blame for fighting medication.
This is a tactic by defense attorneys to prevent him from ever being held accountable in any way for the murder of these two Capitol Police officers.
Marquis says the elaborate arguments over whether it's legal and ethical to force Russell Weston to be medicated just obscure the real issue of justice.
Well, I think it's simple human decency, both for Russell Weston and for the murdered Capitol Police officers' families.
David Siegel, who teaches law at Northeastern University in Boston, says it is not so simple. He says the case of Russell Weston has added a whole new dimension to a question not yet settled by the courts. What are the boundaries for forcibly medicating someone, not to make him better, but to bring him to trial? He says when the death penalty is on the table, as it is here, it is the only thing that really matters.
Possibility of the death penalty in this case is just a trump card, and his lawyers and Mr. Weston have to keep that front and center in their consideration. And the possibility that that can happen takes a case with difficult issues and makes some of them intractable.
There's no question it is Russell Weston who did this. If he is tried, the only question is, was he sane when he did it? If not, of course, he's not as responsible for what he has done as a sane man would be. And his lawyers have raised a bundle of issues to argue that medicating Weston would make it very difficult to convince a jury he was insane at the time. David Siegel says a medicated Russell Weston might look sane at his trial, and that's a powerful influence on a jury.
If a defendant's given a medication that makes them seem sleepy, and then they're listening to testimony about some terrible aspect of their case, people being shot, people dying, people in terrible pain, and they don't seem to show any emotion, the jury listening to that or watching that defendant can conclude, this person is a cold, heartless killer.
Prosecutors say that wouldn't happen here. In their arguments, they point to the videotaped interviews that show a Russell Weston who is obviously psychotic. Even the judge in the case has suggested there may be enough evidence for Weston to meet the high hurdles of an insanity defense. Even so, the prospect of the death penalty raises a more crucial issue to Weston's lawyers, one of medical ethics.
They say that the government's sole reason for forcing medication or wanting to force medication on him is to get him ready for trial so that they can convict him and execute him.
Richard Bonney is director of the Institute of Law, Psychiatry, and Public Policy at the University of Virginia. Bonney outlined the ethical issues for the judge in the case at the request of Weston's lawyers. The government says there is no medical ethics problem. Indeed, prosecutors argue that medicating Weston is the only way to treat his schizophrenia. But to understand the defense argument, just flash forward a few years, Bonnie says.
Weston is convicted, sentenced to death, and that he is now on death row awaiting execution. Well, suppose that the government says, well, okay, he's incompetent for execution, but now let's treat him to restore him to competence so that we can carry out the execution. Now we can see that there really could not possibly be any pretense of a therapeutic purpose.
Now the trial judge has said that's looking too far into the future, and he's disagreed with the argument that the only reason for medicating Weston is to bring him to trial. Judge Emmett Sullivan said medication could keep Weston from future violence, and he said there's reason to believe the drugs could help him. David Siegel says the judge's reasoning shows the fallacy of mixing medical and legal arguments when the death penalty is involved.
There's not any other circumstance where we allow people to be medicated, unless it's for their own good, unless it's to help them, without their say in the matter. And it is very difficult to say with a straight face that medicating Mr. Weston under these circumstances, where the possible outcome could be his being sentenced to death, is going to help him.
But is it helping Russell Weston to keep him isolated and crazy, asks Josh Marquis of the District Attorneys Association. He thinks Weston's lawyers are the ones who should question their ethics.
The fact of the matter is that they are confining him to a prison which many people who've suffered from schizophrenia have described as worse than a living hell.
He says Weston's lawyers should stop fighting the order to medicate him and let the trial move forward.
Otherwise, we remain in this sort of netherworld where his lawyers are, you know, forcibly keeping him in a prison of insanity because they believe it's better than him facing the possibility of the death penalty.
To Weston's lawyers, it's not even a choice. They'd rather have him alive and mentally ill than dead. But what will the courts say? Lawyer David Siegel believes eventually the Supreme Court will have to enter the labyrinth posed by Russell Weston's case. In previous cases, the court has ruled that it can be legal to forcibly medicate someone just to bring him to trial, but it hasn't spoken on whether it is legal to do so when it might end up in an execution. Libby Lewis, NPR News, Washington.